Welcome to ACC Nation Podcast. Coming up, Xavion and I take a deep dive into the upcoming NBA draft. We're going to take a look at the top 30 round one picks, who gets those picks, and the players. A lot of interesting opinions, I'm sure, are going to be coming up on that. But first, CSW Baseball, Florida State and Arkansas. You missed that game? Wow. Scoreless up until the ninth. It was like you were on pins and needles through most of this game. What possibly can we say about Magic Mike Martin and the Florida Seminoles? They have come into the NCAA Baseball Championship an unranked team and cut through some of the best teams in the country. The SEC's Georgia, LSU, and Arkansas. Who's next? Well, yet another unsung team in Michigan. Not so good news for the Louisville Cardinals, dropping the critical game one in the brackets to Vanderbilt. Scores and schedules at accnation.net. ACC men's soccer gets underway September 1st. We're going to have the schedules of soccer and a lot of other sports coming up very soon. And air times of select games. That's all coming up at accnation.net. Be sure to check that out. accnation.net. Let's jump into this, Xavion, and take a look at what is coming up here very soon, an exciting time. And one of the things I found when I started going through these lists, there's a heck of a lot of hot prospects coming out of the ACC. Now, that doesn't surprise me, but some of the names sort of, you know, where they were projected to go, did.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of top quality players coming out of the ACC. I mean, we got Duke, Virginia Tech, UVA, North Carolina, Florida State, just to name a couple of schools that are producing round one talent in this year's draft. So it's going to be, an ACC-heavy draft this upcoming year.
Definitely. Let's take a look here real quickly at the teams that are picking in the first round. And just take the top five. New Orleans lucked into the top. So I think we know what that means. We'll get into that in just a second. Memphis is next. New York Knicks, third. L.A. Lakers, fourth. Cleveland, fifth.
As of yesterday.
Yeah, it changed again?
No longer. Yeah, the Lakers are no longer the fourth pick. New Orleans has that pick now.
That's right. They swapped out yesterday. I saw that, and I didn't put it in my list. Thank you for updating us on that. Yeah, we'll maybe we should just go over that for a second, because that was like that was a gangbuster. I'm not sure what happened there. Somebody lost their mind.
I think the Lakers are viewing it as a stepping stone or a great value piece that they got. So, because LeBron, to be truthful, LeBron probably has a good solid 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm being generous when saying three. Definitely two, but a solid 3 years of where he can still be in a conversation as a top player in the NBA. And Anthony Davis coming into the fold to be his Robin to his Batman for now is going to work. But for the future, Anthony Davis's don't fall off trees.
True that.
And for the Lakers franchise, they've always, when they've been at their best, they've had a dominant big man or a big man that's in the conversation for the top big man in the league. And they got another one again. So it's a good piece for them. And they gave up a lot of young pieces. You don't pass on a player like Anthony Davis if he's available to come to you. You just don't. Regardless of what you had to give up, you don't pass on that.
Well, I was really hoping that the Pelicans were going to hold on to Davis and team him up with Zion, but not to be. I guess he probably looked at that as being, well, I'm kind of being pushed out the door too. And, you know, took his opportunity, and the door opened in L.A., and why not? I mean, you know. Going to a bigger market and one that has a heck of a lot better history than the Pelicans. But we'll see how that all works out.
And what the Pelicans did a good job in what they got back. I mean, getting Lonzo Ball, a legitimate pass first point guard, to team him up with Zion on the fast break, that's scary.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram, at the time, he's the number two overall pick. And there are a lot of Kevin Durant comparisons because of the body type and the scoring ability and still the potential is still there. They're still all barely 22, 23 years old. So a lot of value there.
Yeah. I guess we should be looking forward to New Orleans winning a championship at some time if they handle this right.
I mean, they've loaded up on picks and young talent. They have definitely – they might have swung. I mean, they're probably not going to be very good the next 2 years still, but they definitely have enough young talent to definitely build around and make other moves or do other things. So they've definitely improve their odds.
Well, we'll see what you think, who you think is going to slide into that pick, because this certainly disrupts projections. Yeah. Whether it's going to be an ACC guy or somebody else that could team up with Zion to really run roughshod. Cleveland was the next team after that then, since the Lakers just got tossed in the trash can and New Orleans picked up that piece. That's nice. I'll just go ahead and do the next five too. Phoenix, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, and Atlanta again. Atlanta picking up a lot of pieces in the first round. That bodes well for them.
Yeah. They have a lot of pieces and a lot of spots that they still need to develop. They have a great young core with Trae Young and the kid out of Wake Forest. I forget his name, but he's super athletic and has a nice mid-range game. Kim, I wouldn't say he's been out for like 2 years now, but he's definitely quality. They have some good quality pieces around there, and then adding two top 10 picks to help build more youth. Atlanta's looking pretty good too as well. They're not getting the top of the top talent, but they're still getting value at those picks.
Well, let's take a look real quickly at the hot prospects list, and this comes out of the NBA. These are the players out of the ACC that they believe are probably going to be going in the first and second rounds, and I think that they're right on with this. Alexander Walker out of Virginia Tech, Barrett out of Duke, Bowman out of Boston College, Horde out of Wake Forest, Hunter out of Virginia, Jerome out of Virginia, Johnson out of North Carolina, Kevin Gelly out of Florida State, Little out of North Carolina, Mann out of Florida State, Reddish out of Duke, Robinson out of Virginia Tech, White out of North Carolina, and Williamson out of Duke. And of course, I guess you figured out by now, all of these are in alphabetical order, not by the projected pick.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at, and let's throw this in. Teams that don't have a pick in the first include Dallas, Denver, Houston, the LA Clippers. It's like, Clippers, really? Sacramento, yeah. And Toronto. Wouldn't it be nice if one of those teams moved to Virginia?
It'd be lovely because what's here. Going on in D.C. isn't...
it's just horrible.
Yeah. It's the draft is literally, I wouldn't say, less than a week away, and they still have no GM.
Wow. So that's insane.
But they did make an offer to Usai Mujeri, or the GM for the Toronto, or the national champion or world champion Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making a play for him, but I don't know if he'll end up.
Better fork out some big bucks, I can say, because the man is worth every dime. Okay, let's take a look at some of these players and where they're projected to go. Zion, as we were sort of alluding to earlier, New Orleans, pick number one.
That's I think that's been set in stone after his first highlight from the crazy night, or the midnight games that they have to start off basketball seasons. Mm-hmm. The first alley-oop dunk that he caught in the Duke uniform, it was kind of expected number one overall pick, unless somebody else did top that.
Yeah, and we kept waiting.
And the whole season came by and went, and nobody did. So nobody. Here we are.
Exactly. His teammate, RJ Barrett, is going to the Knicks at pick number three. And these are projections by NBADraft.net, by the way. These aren't our predictions. And I don't know how you feel about this, Xavier. When I went down this list, I'm going like, that makes sense. Okay.
There's two picks I saw, and this is no shade towards UVA.
Mm-hmm.
And again, national champion UVA Cavaliers. I have to preface by saying that Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy, I am surprised to see that they're
first and second
picks. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are absolutely ballers. Again, they won a national championship and did great things at UVA, but I don't see the skill or the athleticism necessary to compete in the NBA. I think of JJ Redick.
Yep.
I mean, when I think of the great white hope for basketball players,
that was the name. Redick. That was the name that immediately came to my mind too when you started bringing that up.
But the thing with JJ Redick though is he was pulling up from anywhere on the court and hitting. JJ was doing like 30-point games. We weren't getting that from Ty or Kyle Guy. They remind me similar of Nick Stauskas. He came out of Michigan a couple years ago, and he was just a hot. He could shoot, and both of these players can shoot, but that was all he had to his game, and didn't do anything else to develop and add to his game. So, if they don't do anything to develop and add to their game, they're going to be in the same conversation as Nick Stauskas. Unfortunately, they won't have the high value pick or whatnot, because I believe he was in lottery pick, but I'm still kind of shocked to see them on the list. I feel like they'd be an undrafted player, especially, I mean, Fred VanVleet out of Wichita State. He just won the NBA championship in Toronto, and he was undrafted and 15th man on the roster, and he worked his butt off. So it's doable. It's possible. I'm just surprised to see those two names out of all the names I see on the list there.
One of the things I think that was to their disadvantage is that Tony Bennett doesn't focus – you know, and I got to really have to say this properly. I shouldn't say he doesn't focus on offense, because that's not true. But his team strategy really centers around defense. So offense is sort of a second thought. And their strategy on offense is suck up the clock. With that, you don't see the type of play that you would be out of some of the other players on this list. And I think that may be masking what talent is there. Apparently somebody in the NBA thought, well, we see what we can do with you, and whether it is a utility player, somebody coming off the bench, or, you know, one of those key guys that sort of makes things happen, you know, the assists and everything like that, one of those type of guys. That I see Ty Jerome doing.
Absolutely. He's a shot creator.
Kyle Guy, I think maybe the same thing there, because he is, you know, he really knew how to move the ball around and make things kind of happen on the court. We'll see. Being in the first and second, yeah, a little surprise for me there too. But at the same time, I started analyzing a little deeper and came up with those thoughts that I just shared with you. Williamson to New Orleans, Barrett to New York Knicks. Next up, another Virginia guy, DeAndre Hunter to Phoenix at pick 6. So this is sort of a toss up, because there's a lot of conversation here about he may go higher, he may go lower, and 6 was sort of a midpoint.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with what happened with the NBA trade yesterday with Anthony Davis. I wouldn't be surprised if New Orleans might have looked to pick up DeAndre Hunter as well, to add more depth at the forward position, because he can play the 3, but he also can play small ball 4 because of his height and his length. So that'd be another person to definitely team up with Zion. But then when he's listed here at Phoenix, the same thing kind of flags get raised, because if you look at Phoenix's their draft history, last year it was DeAndre Ayton. The year before that, I believe it was DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges out of Villanova. Then the year before that, or 2 years before that, was Josh Jackson. And then this year's DeAndre Hunter listed. And those last 3 or 4 drafts, they've been picking small forwards. And you're going to have kind of a logjam here, small forwards, as Josh Jackson still hasn't fully blossomed once he's been expected. And then you got Mikal Bridges backing him up, and he's not fully getting the opportunities. And then you're going to bring in DeAndre Hunter on top of that to find whatever scraps of minutes he can get. You're creating a logjam, and you're just drafting players.
Yeah, no clear drafting them. Yeah, it doesn't look like a clear strategy involved there, unless they're stocking up on players that they can use to trade off.
And that's where I was thinking. That's where my train of thought leads me to next is, are you just acquiring a bunch of young talent to then ship off to make a big play? Because for Phoenix, I think that truly their only missing piece is they need a point guard. If they had fallen into number 2 and Ja Morant was in their laps, I think we'd be seeing what we're seeing out of Sacramento right now with De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley and all that young talent that they're getting over there. We start seeing that over in Phoenix, because, I mean, Devin Booker is easily a 28.7 assists, 5 rebounds player a night. DeAndre Ayton can give you 20 and 15 despite stepping out of the bed. Those are two great pieces right there. So finding a good point guard would have been most ideal. And still, there's a potential that they could find, that they could surprise everybody and actually get a point guard. They could be, I would say maybe Kobe White, but he's more of a scoring two guard than actual point guard, and they need a point guard. So, yeah, it's just getting off on a tangent. It's interesting to see DeAndre Hunter here. Definitely a top 10 pick based off of talent. And if the teams kind of fell a different way, I'd probably guarantee him a top five pick because of need. But it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in this draft.
Sports talk is all about tangents, my man.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's like the rabbit hole. Let's see how far we can go down. Next is Cam Reddish to Atlanta. That's pick number 8. Good pick.
Really like that pick.
Yeah.
Really like that place for him, too.
I think that's a pretty solid pick for Atlanta. And I see Atlanta reemerging here. So, that's a real good move, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good long score that – will definitely team up well with or compliment Trae Young a lot. The only thing with Cam Reddish is there's so many questions because he, talent-wise, he was the third best player in the country. And then on that team, unfortunately, he was the third option because the top two players in the country were on the same team.
Yep.
So he, unfortunately, was kind of an afterthought on offense and running the game and stuff. But I always go back to, I believe it was that Virginia Tech game where he hit that game-winning shot and how he just caught it and just so effortlessly shot it. And there's plenty of moments where his game is very, very smooth and effortless and just it just looks like it's beauty and a poetry in motion, honestly, on the basketball court. Combining that with Trae Young's being able to spread the floor with his shooting from ungodly range and whatnot. It creates more space and more mismatches potentially for Cam Reddish. It's an excellent spot for him to fall in and for Atlanta to pick up a quality player like that.
I'll call Cam a third wheel at Duke. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. It's just when you have two players like Williamson and Barrett kind of overshadowing you. And really there's nothing you can do about that. But, it does emphasize how important team interplay, the overall scheme of how things work. When you take somebody like Cam, who is an excellent player, who is overshadowed from at Duke, and you move him into a different scenario, more of a team, effort type of thing, and he becomes an important part of what's being, the offensive production there. And I can see that working in Atlanta for him, that I'm excited to see what he can do there. UNC's Nasir Little is going to Minnesota, pick number 11.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold.
Sort of like, Little. What?
Yeah, he, like the potential is there, but there's a lot of, what's his name? He was out of UNC almost over a decade, Marvin Williams, on that national championship team UNC had all those years ago. Mm-hmm. He reminds me a lot of Marvin Williams because he was coming off the bench or he wasn't necessarily the vocal player on that team, but he has all the intangibles. He has the height, the weight, the athleticism, the bounce, the energy. He has all the intangibles that essentially skyrockets his stock in the draft and makes him valued more than what he truly should be. I think on the good end, he can give you a little bit of what Draymond Green does for Golden State Warriors. On the bad end, I would, like I say, I'd stick with Marvin Williams, Marvin Williams that can't shoot. So it's skeptical. And at the position where he's getting drafted to, I don't know if that's necessarily a great fit in Minnesota. But I'm not too sold on Nasir Little, to be completely honest. So I really don't know where to place him because he plays the true definition of positionless basketball. He's slightly undersized for the four position, but then he's a little bit too big for the three position, even though he can guard both. But to what extent? Offensively, essentially, he's getting putbacks and inside shots. Nothing, no mid-range or expected three-point range. So I would say more than anything, you have a legitimate prospect, a project on your hands with great potential because of athleticism, but other than that, I don't know where you're going to go with that, to be honest.
Well, Florida State's Cabangali is going to Detroit at pick number 15. There's another player that is also going to Detroit that we'll talk about here in just a moment. We'll see how they pair up together. What are your thoughts here? This is, I think, is a little bit of a project player. Potential, a lot of potential.
Yeah, I saw him in some of the games for Florida State, and I don't remember if it was the ACC tournament or in the March Madness tournament, but he really stuck out and was making plays, especially defensive plays. He was literally legit blocking or causing missed shots on one end, running down the floor like a legitimate gazelle, and just receiving passes and dunking. He was great moving up and down the floor, but like you said, a project nonetheless. The only issue, I like him being drafted in the first round. He definitely has the potential, height, and all the intangibles, but it's the fit. Him going to Detroit. Detroit right now has Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin on huge contracts. So not only do you have to pay those men, but you also need to play those guys to justify the amount of money you're playing. And for a project, as young as he is, he needs to play and get involved, and it's going to be near impossible for him to do that behind two, at one point, all-stars and stuff like that. So I really don't love the fit, but I like the pick in terms of where it's at.
Next up is Alexander Walker, who was a big contributor at Virginia Tech, and he is projected as pick number 18 in the draft and headed to Indiana.
I like this pick because of his ability to play the one and the two. He was asked throughout the season for the Hokies to be in the point guard position because of injuries and everything like that. But he didn't well enough to lead them and whatnot, and it gives you a good backup and another shot creator essentially off the bench. I envision him being a role player on the next level, coming off the bench, and if he can contribute in a Lou Williams type of aspect for the Clippers, Lou Williams is also arguably one of the greatest six men of all time, but he has the ability to come and contribute on the offensive end in terms of creating shots for players and filling up the stat sheet on his own accord.
So we alluded to the Virginia players a little earlier in this conversation, and now we're going to come to our last first-round pick. Which, again, it was a little bit of a surprise, I think, to both of us. Pick number 24 in the first round, projected to go to the Philadelphia 76ers, is Ty Jerome.
Yeah, ability-wise, he reminds me of one of those basketball players that is very sound fundamentally, and that's because they lack athletically. And he's the definition of this, what I would see, because there's times where I didn't see the speed. I didn't see the explosiveness and everything. But the one thing that I do appreciate about Ty Jerome and kind of raises my intrigue when it comes to him is his ability to play at his own pace the whole entire game. And his pace is unorthodox in a sense. It's very, very slow. It's very definitely slowing things down. But he has a switch or a gear that it's not going to blow you off on the screen, but for him it's a gear that he can get that helps him blow past or get by or create space to get a shot or get a shot for his teammates, and that is just as important, especially again, I think he's going to be a real off the bench type player. Coming off the bench, if you have a lead, you need to protect the lead, or you need to create momentum to cut into a lead. He is somewhat of the type of a point guard you like to come in and run your offense, run the plays, get the easy buckets, take advantage when they can take advantage, like I said, to cut in the lead or extend the lead. He's that perfect backup point guard or backup guard for teams and whatnot. So he does have that potential, but it's just we have to see how it translates to the speed and size increase in the NBA.
Before we get into round two, the hot prospects list, which again came from the NBA, included Justin Robinson of Virginia Tech and Kobe White of North Carolina. Neither one of them are in first or second round. And I didn't go much deeper than the first or second round, to be frank with you, because even wait, that
you said
is...
Kobe White wasn't in the first round?
Kobe White is not in the first round.
Interesting.
And not in the second.
There has to be more to this story.
Yeah. Now, Justin Robinson, I understand.
Yeah.
And that's, again, this is nothing about downplaying a player's potential or, you know, ability. It's just that if you look at the overall picture, and we're just talking about ACC players here. You know, we're not looking at the big picture of everybody that's being selected. So that didn't surprise me. Kobe White, that does raise a question. So,
absolutely.
And, you know, kind of chew on that one a little bit and maybe come up with an idea of why. you know, if it's...
There has to be some type of underlying issue that we're just not privy to, because this is a highly ranked kid coming out of high school, and he was I would definitely say the go-to scorer, looking the bucket man for North Carolina last year.
Mm-hmm.
Great size, and he's definitely he's one of those. He reminds me, to be completely honest, of James Harden.
Wow.
But
okay,
because when I say James Harden, not necessarily what James Harden is right now, but what James Harden was coming out of college.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has the potential to match. I mean, he has the hair, so that could definitely go with the beard. So he can do that. The hair.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he has the scoring ability of James Harden. He can shoot from three. He can create for others, and he has a knack for getting buckets. He's going to get you buckets. He's just undeniably going to get you buckets. And if you give him the ability to be, like I said, how James Harden was in Houston when he came, they put the ball in his hands. And it was like, you either get to shoot a three, drive to the basket, or create a shot and hit somebody else for an open three. And those are some of the things that Kobe White can absolutely do just fine. So if he goes to a situation where he gets the opportunity to grow, get a few years under his belt and develop, we could be coming back and speaking like, oh, why wasn't Kobe White, for whatever odd reason, and drafted, if he doesn't get drafted, or in the top five or top 10 or whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
As for him not being in that draft projection, did they forget about him maybe?
Scratch your head. It's
I have no idea why he wouldn't be, because I mean, the consensus is he's, again, a top five, top 10 pick across everywhere else. So it's kind of shocking to see him not listed on this at all.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with Kobe White. It is just a reflection. It's a knowledge base, and both Xavion and I have this. It's an understanding that, number one, when you're playing college ball, or even high school ball for that matter, and you hope to go to the pros, number one, take care of yourself health-wise. Okay, and as silly as this may sound, lots of rest, lots of fluids, eating as well as you can. The other thing is who you hang out with, because they're going to look at character, and if it carries over, especially into college ball, if you're hanging with the wrong people who are, you know, getting into stuff, bad influences, they know that that's going to carry over to the pros as well. So they don't want that. They don't want that mess. Okay. You know, and the other thing is, and it pretty much ties in with the same thing here. It's all about character, because, you know, like the NFL, they sit down and they interview people now. You know, they want to know what your football IQ is. I don't know how detailed the NBA teams are with this, but, in the NFL, it's really kind of gone to the extreme in how they question people and what they look into. They actually have people who are investigating your background. So all I can tell you is that if you really want to play in the pros, if that's what you aspire to do, it's important to start in high school, at the very least, you know, following all those things that were just laid out there, so that, you know, that you have a better shot of getting in the door, because this is a big payday for you. All right. You don't want to blow that. And it's amazing how something sometimes small can influence where you're going to draft and how much money you're going to be making over your lifetime. And as you're pointing out with LeBron, I mean, it's, you know, it seems like yesterday that LeBron started playing. But, you know, everybody's timeline as a professional is relatively short in the overall picture of your life.
Very.
So make it worthwhile. Let's get into the projected second round. Cam Johnson going to Phoenix, pick number 32.
Again, it's another small forward on the team that has three potential.
100?
Expected. Yeah, they might as well just have a team of small forwards running around, because they're projected to get DeAndre Hunter, and now they're projected to have Cameron Johnson too. And Cameron Johnson is he's a good quality player, definitely a great shooter. He was in 97th percentile shooting off spot-ups and off-screens last year. But the only thing with him is he's 23 years old, so he's so much older than a lot of the other young talent. You have kids coming in as 19. So imagine having a 19-year-old with four years to grow as opposed to having a 23-year-old who within 4 years is estimated to be in his prime of his career. So that's the only real downfall and whatnot. But he definitely can score the basket and create offense off the bench and stuff for your team. So it would be a good value pick in the second round, getting Cameron Johnson for, I would say, a team that's definitely looking to contend rather than build.
Let me ask you this question. I know you've told me before, because I'm getting ready to identify mine. Who's your favorite NBA team?
So a couple years ago when Kevin Durant was on Oklahoma City, it was Oklahoma City Thunder. I was born in Oklahoma City, so it was just perfect. I loved watching Kevin Durant play, and he just so happened to play for the place I was born at. But since that happened, and I kind of fallen out of love with OKC, not the greatest team now, and it's tough to watch one man spearhead a debacle every year with Russell Westbrook, every game with Russell Westbrook. So I can't really say I have a favorite team right now. I thoroughly enjoy basketball overall. So it's hard to say I have one team.
Well, that's the approach I take with the Atlantic Coast Conference. I don't have a team, but I love sports, and watching sports for me is just the joy. I like watching both sides. Now, of course, I'm, you know, if it's ACC against SEC or something like that, I'm definitely all ACC. I don't care who it is. So, or what sport. So the whole point of me asking you that question is Chicago Bulls have been my favorite team for a long time. And it's painful sometimes. Terrence Mann is projected as pick number 38 to go to the Bulls.
Yeah, nothing really great to be said about Terrence Mann. I mean, again, when we're saying these picks, I'm looking at the player and what they bring to the table, and then what the team that's drafting and what they already have in place. And it doesn't seem like this is a great fit. They have guards already. I know a lot of guards are on expiring contracts, and they're trying to rebuild over in Chicago. But I don't know if Terrence Mann is a piece. But again, it's a second round, so there's value in that. He has great size for his position, 6'5", two guard. He plays great defense. There's some similarities from what I've seen and read. He reminds me of Donovan Mitchell coming out of college, because Donovan Mitchell coming out of college was really expressed for his length and his arms and his wingspan and his defensive ability. He was unleashed on offense, and that I think that really surprised everybody. So if Terrence Mann has an offensive game similar to Donovan Mitchell, then that would be a great value pick for in the second round at that for Chicago. But that's Donovan Mitchell's a dime in a dozen, so it's hard to say. I would lean on more of him not being that than him actually being that.
You know, it's so hard for teams to catch lightning in a bottle like the Bulls did when they had Michael Jordan. So,
exactly.
You know, that is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing. Next up is Kai Bowman from Boston College, headed to Atlanta at pick number 41.
I do like this pick because he fits what Atlanta's trying to do. He's essentially, I would say, a good pass-first point guard. That can definitely fill it up, though. He averaged 19 points, I think it was this past season, 7 rebounds and 4 assists. So he's definitely doing it all for the Eagles. Definitely does it all. And again, this is a good quality pick in the second round because you're giving yourself a good backup point guard for Trae Young, and who could definitely contribute right away and help maintain running the offense. And again, on the sneak aspect, he could definitely surprisingly get you maybe 20 points in a game and surprise the opposing team off the bench at that.
Let's go to our next guy. Going to Detroit at pick number 45 is Kyle Guy from Virginia. Being on the same team and projected, of course, as Cabangale, that might be an interesting combination.
It does, but if didn't Detroit pick, Detroit pick Luke Kennard a couple years ago out of Duke, and aren't they Luke Kennard's a left-handed version of Kyle Guy and vice versa. So, except I would say Luke Kennard's maybe a little bit more consistent scorer than Kyle is. So it's definitely interesting, but Kyle does have this swagger about him that is kind of hard to ignore on the basketball court. So it does definitely raises intrigue, and him going to Detroit is a good position because they don't have much great guard play as it is. So he can definitely find some minutes and definitely contribute off the bench. But like I said, they have Luke Kennard already, and Kyle Guy isn't too far from that as well. So you're drafting the same player at the second round. So it's a benefit.
And our last in the second round is Jalen Horde of Wake Forest, who is headed to New Orleans at pick 97 in round 2. He'll be joining Zion.
I definitely think so. I mean, it makes sense now, especially with the trade that just happened. They need to add a little bit more to their big man rotation. Besides Anthony Davis, the only other one I really knew on the Pelicans was Julius Randle and whatnot, and he's a 6'9 bruiser. He's not necessarily the big, long, lanky shot blocker and stuff like that. And when you read about Jalen Hurd, the first thing they say, he's a lanky power forward and stuff like that. So he definitely has that ability, I think, to cause disruption in the low block and coming over on the weak side, the block shots and stuff like that. He has that potential to do that. I mean, he has a 7 wingspan, so he's definitely causing fits on the defensive end. And it's a good fit. Offensively, I would say he's lacking a little bit, but he's one of those players that will get you good putbacks and good dunks on players and great first bounce. So it would be a good value pick in the second round for the Pelicans to help fill the big man rotation that they're currently lacking without Anthony Davis.
I see him as a project player, and I think that he will benefit greatly by being in an NBA program. He'll pick up things that unfortunately, and I still, this just boggles me to no end that Danny Manning is having such a problem. You know, some people know how to coach. Some people know basketball. Some people know how to coach. You know what I mean? And if you can get the combination of the two, you got a winner.
Yep.
But there's something missing with Danny Manning and his program at Wake Forest. I don't get it. It's very disappointing because I like Danny Manning. You know,
it's the Michael Jordan thing. Michael Jordan is reviewed as the best basketball player of all time. So you would think the best basketball player of all time would know good quality basketball players, who fits where and does stuff, but they don't.
No.
We see what's going on with the Charlotte Hornets, and again, Michael Jordan owns that team, yet they are constantly out of the playoffs. Crazy draft picks, nobody really panning out, and it's just because they don't they play the game so well that they think they know the game, but they don't. They just have that ability, and it helps them time and time again, rather than actually knowing the game and knowing where to put people and for people to succeed. They don't know that.
It's just a money sink.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
that's about the only thing that I come up with when I look at that scenario. Man, you're just hiding money, or you need to lose money on your taxes in some fashion. Of course, you don't lose money on professional sports, no matter what. But you can certainly work those books nicely. Like I said, I think that Horde will benefit immensely by being in a pro program where they're going to spend some time working with him and getting him up to speed and improving his game. And if he's adept at absorbing that stuff, which I think he is, I think he's going to really blossom in like a year or two. And that'll be a good thing for the Pelicans. I told you a little bit ago that I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. And I'm a Chicago football fan as well. Basically, anything that Chicago, I'm on board sports-wise. But my backup football team, the Saints, just because my significant other is from New Orleans, and it's sort of a family thing, you know. I'm going to catch it one way or the other. And so I'm thinking maybe I should get on board with the Pelicans. And I go by their facility in the Saints facility on a regular basis, and I go down there about three times a year. So I think it's about time that I got on board with, being a fair weather fan, you know, one of those types. But, you know, it'll be something fun. And, it'll be fun to watch some of the players out of the ACC, especially Zion, and see how he does. It'll give me a reason to, you know, an excuse. Let's put it that way. It'll give me an excuse to, when I'm in New Orleans, to go to a game. So,
oh yeah, no, definitely.
Like, I need an excuse, right? and let's kind of look outside of the ACC for just a moment. Anything in particular that you're excited about, that you see from the standpoint of players who may be, you know, getting in that top 10, they're going to make a big difference in the NBA?
So, yes, definitely surprised still by not seeing Kobe White in that position and whatnot. But I'm really more focused now, more than anything, is seeing what the Pelicans do with the fourth pick. They have unlimited options. You can add a player and definitely get more young talent. But this draft is really looked at as a two-man draft with Zion and Ja. So how much can you really get? Or can you execute another trade for that fourth pick and get a team that is in love with a player that they just absolutely have to have, and get maybe some veteran leadership, veteran contracts that can help mentor and build on this young team that is not going to impact your salary cap that much, and you get some legit mentorship from players rather than just trainers and stuff like that. If you have an actual player that can come in and help Zion figure out, you know, I can't jump over everybody because everybody in this league can jump with me here. What can I do to expand my game and make myself more dangerous? I'm really, really looking forward to see what they do with the fourth pick, to be completely honest. I'm also interested in seeing where Jarrett Culver lands out of Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very quality, like good player. He could have come out last year and been a lottery pick, but he decided to stay, and he's still a lottery pick. And that doesn't always pan out for players that choose to stay. Usually there's a significant drop off the longer they get to look and criticize your game. But he was able to hold steady and pack that in the lottery and whatnot. Other than that, there's nobody that really sticks out, I think. Oh, no, there's one more person, and I think we've all forgotten about this person, but Bol Bol out of Oregon.
Yeah.
Just the size is ridiculous, 7 foot something, but he can shoot from anywhere on the court. Three, mid-range, near the basket, a crazy offensive. It's Kevin Durant-esque, except without the, like, Kevin Durant can move a lot better than Bol Bol can. Mm-hmm. The only concerns with Bol Bol is the foot injury that he comes into with on that big body and frame. It's always a cause for concern. But the intrigue of what he brings, because on defensive side, like his father, he's blocking everything. He's stopping your easy buckets. And then he can run down the floor, and he doesn't even have to go the full length of the floor, or he doesn't have to use all his energy. He just go to the three-point line, little dish out pass, catch and shoot, bucket, and right back down the floor. So he's such an intriguing prospect that going into the season before he got hurt, he was probably a top five pick, and arguably had he planned out this season, he could have been arguably the number one overall pick with Zion, because you just don't find big men like that with that type of game. They don't fall off trees. So it's interesting to see, and on the draft I'm looking at, he's right outside of the lottery at 17 to Brooklyn Nets, and that would be a great spot for him. To combine him with Jared Allen and stuff, the center there got there who blocks everything. So you'd be really creating a duo that could stretch the floor on offense but also lock down the paint on defense in Brooklyn. And with the cap space they have and the free agency rumors that are going on with them, this could be a great player that just falls into their lap and has them legitimately making not only the playoffs but deep into the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I see him on the hot prospects list there. They've got him as a freshman. So
yeah, he's a freshman.
He is. Okay. So yep. this past season. Okay. All right. Yeah. I for some reason, I thought he'd been playing longer. Who knows? But anyway, that's very interesting. And one other question I had for you. In regard to players, when you brought this up just a few seconds ago about players going back and improving their stock, sometimes it helps, sometimes it hurts. Overall, what is your opinion of that?
Honestly, I've seen it hurt more than it's actually helped from when I think of football and basketball. Mm-hmm. It's when you're valued at the highest that it could possibly be, you got to pull that trigger and jump in and essentially figure out after that. The reason why I say, because like I said, your professional life is so short in comparison to your actual life. So if you have the opportunity to cash out and essentially steal millions and millions of dollars from these teams, by all means, get your money and take care of your family and generations and stuff down the line, because that's going to be more important than what you did for a set organization for 10 years.
Yeah. One other thing I will throw in that list that I put out earlier about, you know, taking care of yourself and everything is make sure that you find a trustworthy and professional financial planner.
Yes.
And an attorney that will take care of you. Do not let your cousin handle your money for you. No. Even if he is or she is a professional financial planner, don't go that route. Family, business, don't mix. And people say it, they mean it. I know there's some exceptions out there, but there are far more. It's the rule, and that's the way it works. So, yeah, and that way, as you were talking about your long-term taking care of yourself, your family, and generations to come, you'll be able to do that and investing wisely in things that actually generate further income for you and everything else down the road. So just another pointer there that you can't say this stuff enough. Because, you know, people every generation or even every year, you have to repeat it. You have to continue to repeat it.
Every single year.
Mainly because we don't listen to the people we should be listening to when we're younger. Shame on us. Gee whiz, what an observation on my part. Hey, great rundown on the draft, which is coming up here very soon. Looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun to see how players react and families react and how pumped up the fan base gets. I know the people down in New Orleans are really, really just out of their minds with the concept of having Zion at the Pelicans. So that's a fun thing. And believe me, the French Quarter is going to light up. They don't need any excuse to do that, but yeah. it will be lit up the day of the draft when they announce officially that Zion is going to the Pelicans, and it'll be fun to watch. So make sure that you catch that. We'll update you at accnation.net. Hey, you can catch Xavion, myself, and Will on Twitter. Xavion's at Xayveon. Will is at Will's World MN, and I'm at ACC The Q. You want to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. It's as simple as punching in at ACC Nation. Get us on the web, stories, much more, all at accnation.net. And remember, it's .net, all right? Until next time, cheers.
Bye.